Back to Gaza again this morning. After 20 months of war by Israel, over 50,000 deaths and 11 weeks where no aid has been allowed in by Israel. A blockade which Israel says it has lifted to allow what it calls a basic amount of food to enter the territory, but UN agencies say no aid has yet to be distributed. Meanwhile, the EU says it will review its trade agreement with Israel. Britain says it will suspend trade talks with Israel. Greg Karlstrom is Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Greg, good morning. Thanks for taking our call again today.
Good morning to you.
It's very hard to independently verify what's going on in Gaza, as international journalists are not allowed in and local journalists are being killed. What is being reported on what's happening to aid now?
Well, there are multiple steps in actually getting aid into Gaza and getting it to the people who need it. And I think what we saw yesterday was Israel allowed the first step to happen, which is getting aid on trucks over the border from Israel to Gaza, getting them through a security screening on the Israeli side. Once that happens, the aid is then held in a staging area on the Palestinian side of the border, and the UN has to coordinate with the Israeli army to come and pick it up. They have to, what's called, deconflict to make sure that their vehicles are not going to be fired upon by Israeli troops. That seems to be the thing that hasn't happened. So this aid has crossed the border. It's been allowed into Gaza just across the border. But the UN has not received permission from Israel to go and collect it. And so for now, the aid is sitting on pallets just across the border.
What sort of aid are we talking about here? It is a small number of trucks in the last 2 days. Is that right?
It's a very small number of trucks. If you think back to the period of the ceasefire earlier this year, when Israel had largely eased its restrictions on Gaza, you had between 500 and 600 trucks entering on a typical day, carrying all sorts of humanitarian supplies. What's been agreed here is about 93 trucks that entered yesterday and five that entered the day before. So less than 100 trucks in a two-day span, a tiny fraction of what Gaza needs on a typical day, let alone after 2.5 months of blockade. These trucks are meant to be carrying baby formula, nutritional supplements for children, things that the UN and aid groups say are particularly needed in Gaza. Baby formula ran out some time ago, for example. And so there's an acute need to get those sorts of things in to feed children.
We'll be talking to one agency later in the program. What does Israel say? How does it explain this?
Well, it has spent 2.5 months insisting that this blockade, this restriction on aid entering Gaza, is meant to pressure Hamas. They argue that Hamas, during the ceasefire, stole or otherwise diverted some of the aid that entered Gaza, and it's been using those supplies to feed its own fighters. And that's one reason why it hasn't felt that much pressure to agree to a ceasefire in recent months, because it was able to stockpile some supplies during the ceasefire. And there's a grain of truth to that argument. Hamas, according to people in Gaza, has diverted some of the aid that entered. But the problem is the consequences of this blockade don't seem to be falling on Hamas. By all accounts, it still has food left in its stockpiles. The people who are really suffering here are the people who always suffer first for hunger, for starvation. And that's the elderly, that's young children, pregnant women. They are the ones who are most vulnerable, and they are the ones who are feeling the brunt of this.
And there are reports of more Israeli bombing in the past 24 hours and more deaths.
Yes, as we've seen for the better part of a week now, ongoing heavy bombardment, Israeli troops operating on the ground in various parts of Gaza. They already last week told civilians to flee from Gaza City in the north. A couple of days ago, they issued an evacuation order for Khan Yunis, which is in the south central part of Gaza, essentially trying to herd the entire population into a very, very small part of the territory.
What resistance is now being offered to Israel by countries that have been supporting them up until now, including those who have been and are still supplying them with weapons?
Well, you can look at the rhetoric from Western countries, close Israeli allies, over the past few days, and you can see a change, certainly a rhetorical change. France, Canada, the UK, all threatening to impose various forms of sanctions on Israel if it continues denying aid, if it continues this plan for a major ground offensive in Gaza. The UK saying yesterday that it would break off trade talks with Israel, negotiations over an expanded free trade agreement with Israel. Those have been suspended to protest Israel's conduct in Gaza. It's a striking change from 20 months, where many of these same allies have essentially given Israel carte blanche or a lot of leeway to do as it pleases in Gaza. But I'm also not sure it's sufficient to sway the Israeli government, particularly if, as you say, some of these countries continue to supply arms to that same government. I don't think breaking off trade ties is going to change the Netanyahu government's mind about the war.
And is Israel still intent on sending more soldiers into Gaza?
The government is intent on doing that. The army is less enthusiastic about the plan, partly because of the strain that it's going to put on the army. It's going to require tens of thousands of soldiers to be mobilized, reservists to be mobilized for a long period of time. And I think the army is also worried about where this is going in the long term. If the plan here, as Netanyahu's allies hope, is to reoccupy Gaza, to permanently control territory in Gaza, that's not something that the Israeli army necessarily wants to do. So there has been some pushback at a very high level from the military in private, arguing against the government's plans. If you listen to Netanyahu and his allies, it is still full steam ahead. They are still planning to go ahead with this major offensive. But what we've seen so far on the ground in recent weeks has been somewhat less than the huge division-sized operation that they were promising back in March and April.
What about people within Israel? Are they in any way opposed to what's happening in Gaza?
Broadly, yes, they are. If you look at polls in recent months, usually between 60% and 70% of Israelis say that they support a ceasefire. They want the war to end. They want a deal that will free the remaining Israeli hostages in Gaza, about two dozen of whom are thought to still be alive. Voters and respondents to polls have been very, very consistent about that for months now. The problem is, within Netanyahu's right-wing base, the feeling is very much the opposite. There is majority support for continuing the war, and that is the only voice that seems to matter to Netanyahu. We have seen, of course, regular protests in Israel throughout the war, not huge in number, usually thousands of people rather than hundreds of thousands of people. I think most Israelis at this point, they want the war to end, but at the same time, there is a feeling that the government isn't listening, that protest doesn't help, that none of the opposition parties are able to meaningfully push back against the government. And so there's this feeling of paralysis almost.
Greg Carlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Thanks for speaking with us again this morning. 26 minutes past seven.